Friends in Christ, grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Word of the Lord, which we consider today from the Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." So the saying spread abroad among the brothers, or the word went out among the brothers, that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, "But if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" The word of the Lord. This word went out among the brothers. John would not die. But the apostle is quick to point out Jesus did not say that, but that Jesus was saying, "Mind your own business, Peter. What is that to you if I desire John to be alive until I come again? You need to be following me." This third day of Christmas, the church celebrates John. Sometimes these days are assigned because it's the day the person died, or a church was dedicated in their name somewhere. I'm not sure about John, why it's today, but it is. The son of Zebedee, brother of James, one of the Lord's first disciples, a fisherman. He has the nickname Son of Thunder, perhaps a commentary on his father's personality. He's one of the most prominent disciples. He's in the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. He calls himself in his gospel the disciple whom Jesus loved. A common thing that ancient authors would do. They would find a way not to self-identify by name if they were a part of the story. The author of the Gospel of John, the first, second, and third letters of John, and the Revelation to St. John, one of the original 12, among those who received the Spirit in the upper room on Easter, and who was sent to make disciples by baptizing and teaching. He is called Apostle. Author of one of the four Gospels, he is called Evangelist. Once upon a time, a statue of St. John graced one of the pedestals where the flowers now sit of our altar reredos. His Gospel is easier Greek to read and translate, so it's a favorite for pastors and seminarians cutting their teeth on biblical Greek. His Gospel tells long, detailed stories that the other Gospels don't include, like the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead, the changing of water into wine at Cana in Galilee, the coming of Nicodemus by night. God so loved the world. Meanwhile, he skips the birth of our Lord, and he begins his gospel with all theology. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God is the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, he didn't really skip the birth of our Lord, did he? He just said it in a different way. John's gospel is memorable, if only for these precious verses from heaven's wisdom. But there's so much more. He ends his gospel with the reading for today, the post-resurrection fishing story about Peter looking back and seeing him. And then the Lord's enigmatic words about John remaining until he returns. John writes this to make sure we know that doesn't mean that he will not die, because that word had gone out among the brothers. We allow John to correct the record, so he does. Now, the Apostle John did not apparently die a martyr's death. The church fathers say he lived to old age. He died in Ephesus around 100 AD, but he did suffer for the gospel. According to the early church fathers, he survived two attempts on his life. The emperor Domitian settled for banning John to the island of Patmos for a year, and then it turns out the emperor is the one who died during that year. On Patmos, meanwhile, John received the vision of God that is in the book of Revelation. The apocalyptic vision of Christ acting for his church as encouragement for those who suffer persecution. The word went out among the brothers. John, the disciple and evangelist, bears witness to the word going out in the world, and we know that his testimony, his willingness to witness, even to the point of shedding his blood, is true. No one is willing to die for something that's false or fake. Jesus' resurrection from the dead was no fake, no fable. The Lord is risen. John tells you all about it. And remember, too, that John was also made responsible to care for Mary, the mother of our Lord, at the foot of our Lord's cross. How many times over the years do you think John had Mary recount the events of Christmas night? I would have. Would you not ask for that story to be retold if you had the chance? But of course, you do have the story retold as often as you'll hear it and take it to heart every Christmas tide, whenever you might crack open your Bible at home. But it's all for a great purpose, John and his brothers getting the word out. It's not just, you know, neato history or trivia to win Jeopardy with. These are many things Jesus did. The whole universe itself, John says, would need to make room for all the books to be written on what Jesus has done. Jesus alone could exhaust every show of Jeopardy and more. But it's more than just history and just trivia. Certainly it's no fairy tale, and also it's much more than a fable or a moral tale to teach you to behave yourself, brother, better, as some preach and teach today too often. No, this word, the word made flesh, is the word that needs to go out among the brothers. God is at work. Let's allow John's epistle this morning to tell us what the apostles and evangelists, the brothers, are doing when they're getting the word out about the word made flesh. John writes, "The one who was continually, or was always, in the beginning, the one we have heard, the one we have seen with our own eyes, the one we envisioned, and the hands of ours touched, the one who is rightly called the word of life, that one is the life which has been made known, that one which we have seen and we are giving blood martyr witness to and are proclaiming to you. The life eternal, who was with the Father and was revealed to us, the one we have seen and heard, we are evangelizing and preaching, therefore, to you, so that you also might have communion with him. That is indeed to have communion with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we are writing so that our joy might be fulfilled." A few years ago, an 8-year-old boy in New Jersey was asked by his public school teacher to draw a picture of what Christmas means to him. The boy had visited a Christmas display at a local Roman Catholic shrine near his home, which included at the climax of the presentation a very prominent crucifix. So what did the boy draw for his teacher? He drew that crucifix. He drew a crude cross with a stick figure Jesus hanging on it. He had made the connection. The cradle of our Lord in Bethlehem stable is but the first step on the journey to Calvary to be our Savior and Lord, our source of atoning blood and water that flows from his sacred, pierced side. The faith of 8-year-olds is a precious thing. The teacher didn't have that faith. They reported the boy for drawing a violent scene. They even tried to cart the boy away for a psychological exam. The cross of Christ is a threat to some, and so is the cradle. For others, it is the joy that fulfills Christmas, and it is the joy that fulfilled the hearts of the apostles and evangelists like John, who desired all of us to have a childlike 8-year-old faith, which is to have communion with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. John also wrote, "I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake." And then he wrote, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are." That boy in New Jersey is a disciple whom Jesus loves. He is called a child of God through his baptism into his Lord. He has heard of the saving acts of Jesus, testified to by the blood witness and persecution of the apostles and evangelists and many countless Christians over many years who suffer and die for the sake of their faith in Jesus Christ. The boy even joined them in their witness, suffering a little for his confession of faith made in a stick figure crucifix. But it all proves the apostles' point. The word concerning Jesus and his atoning work on our behalf, his glorious birth, his life, death, resurrection, and ascension in our flesh as our brother, that word cannot be contained in all the world. Even if you tried, yes, even if it knocks down the very gates of hell, it can't be overcome, for it overcomes our reservations and our doubts and our hang-ups, and it gathers each little lamb into the hands of the Good Shepherd. Another memorable title for our Lord in John's Gospel. That word of life in Christ has gone out, and it still goes out among the brothers through every trial, every test, every hard circumstance, every societal upheaval across the world and throughout time, every pandemic ever, nothing in all creation, not even an overzealous woke teacher in New Jersey, nor any government, not Caesar Augustus, none of them could stop it. Jesus, the babe of Bethlehem, whom we adore this Christmas tide, the Word made flesh who came to dwell among us, the propitiation for our sins, not for ours alone, but also for the whole universe. That word of life preached and heard and believed leads to communion with him, the forgiveness of sins given and received on Jesus' account. The word goes out among the brothers and gathers his own unto eternal life. And our joy is fulfilled in every way as God is at work through them. Merry Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.